Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Connecting Faith. Thanks so much for joining us today. I'm Joe Rathmanner. And as you know, we love to tell stories of people who do connect faith to life. And that's our goal here on this program and our goal here in your own life, to be able to connect what you do every day to your faith and vice versa. So today we have just a fabulous story about someone you may know. You may know Jimmy Wayne. He is a country music star. He's got hits like Stay Gone, Paper Angels, and Do You Believe Me Now? But he's also known for a wonderful, altruistic, and giving heart. And his road to stardom was anything but ordinary. Many say would be unlikely given the way that his childhood began. He'll tell us more about that story today on the show and how his road to forgiveness was not necessarily an easy one, and interjecting his faith into his life. So let me introduce you to him and we'll get started. Jimmy Wayne is a former foster kid turned country music singer and songwriter whose songs and story highlight his mission to bring awareness to kids who age out of the foster system and become homeless. In fact, in 2010, Jimmy walked halfway across America raising awareness for these kids. He won the Millionaire Award for having 1 million radio spins in America for his song Do You Believe Me Now? And is the author of the novel Paper Angels and the national spokesperson for the court-appointed special advocates. He's also, of course, promoting a concert and silent auction and program at the Ames Center in Burnsville coming up on November 15th. For those of you who live in the Twin Cities, we'll tell you more details about that and why Safe Families Minnesota is such a organization that is so close to his heart. So, Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's great to have you here. So, one thing I didn't mention is that you have a new book out that's called Walk to Beautiful. It came out this month, right?
Absolutely. It's a nonfiction memoir, if you will, about my life story, growing up in the foster care system, living on the streets, being rescued by a wonderful Christian family when I was 16, and they were in their mid-70s when they took me into their home and gave me an opportunity to go to school, go to college, pursue and catch my dream, and talks about the success I had in the music business, but not only that, but what I did with all of that experience and success, giving it back to raise awareness for the children who are currently growing up in the system the way I did.
So you write about just a very unstable childhood, heartbreaking details of moving around a bit, and a mom with mental illness, and the husbands that she took in her life that brought you some harm as well. I don't want to give away the book, but can you tell us a little bit about what that was like?
Well, first of all, I'll start with my story is it pales in the light of what the majority of these kids are going through, even despite the murders and the drugs and the prostitution that went on around our house. Kids today are dealing with that on a regular basis, and it's a very, very tough upbringing, as you can imagine. I look at my story as a gift of experience and this platform as an opportunity to speak for these children who have a voice, but no one's listening to them. They may be hearing them, but they're not listening. So I'm out here doing everything I could possibly do to utilize these resources, such as this book, my music, my walk across America, everything that God's given me to bring awareness to these children who desperately need our help. It was extremely tough growing up, as you can imagine, living in a house where prostitutes would come in and use our bed to have sex in, while my sister and I slept on the floor beside the bed, or someone was being stabbed in the living room, or someone was being shot. It was just constant chaos. I write about it in detail in this book, Walk to Beautiful. It gets better, you know, with this family who basically rescued me and changed every cell in my body. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that family. And that's just what I'm trying to tell people is it only takes one person to get involved. And it may seem almost impossible and or expensive or it's just too much time. It's none of the above. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a little bit of love and support. These kids are used to taking care of themselves. They don't need you to change their diaper for them. They just need a little bit of help and support. And that's what we're supposed to do. Not if we want to do it. It's a command in James 1:27 that we must care for the orphans and widows in their time of distress. And if there's 600 million self-proclaimed Christians in this world, and even 500,000 foster children in the system in America, well, why is there 500,000 children in foster care needing help? Mm-hmm. Because those numbers don't make sense. We're not doing our job as a body of Christ, not individually, because there are churches out there that are helping. I'm talking about everyone getting involved. If you're proclaiming to be a Christian and you are not helping a child, then you need to go back and read James 1:27 and check yourself.
Do you find in your experience in working with these various organizations and in your own life that some of the people who think they're getting involved write a check, but that what your story seems to tell, especially as you're talking about the people who are instrumental in your life, is that it's not the writing of a check, but it's actually taking the risk to get involved, intimately involved in someone's life who needs your help.
It takes money to keep organizations open so that they can go out and then help these children. So it does take the checks. We need people to donate, but it starts with awareness. Like what you're doing right now, interviewing me, it starts with making people aware that there's even an epidemic in this country. You know, we think of foster care, those words foster care should be abolished. There's nothing about foster care. Those two words, man, it's an illusion that people have that these kids are being cared for. Well, they are, some of them, but a lot of these children who are in the foster care system are just in it's like a cattle call. You know, these kids age out. They become homeless. 50% of females, when they age out at 18 years young, they're already academically behind because they've grown up in the system their entire life and been moved around from home to home, to group home, to receiving home, lived on the street, lived with friends and all that other stuff. So by the time they get 18, they're a little behind, and then they age out. And what that means is that the government, whatever resources they gave them in the system, they cut off that day. So the kid is either, if they're living with a foster family who is only allowing them to live with them because they get a check each month, well, that check's cut off. And so that kid has to either get out or go get a job, trying to go to school, trying to keep up. And it's just, you know, the 50% of the females who age out at that age become pregnant within 1 year. Well, why do you think that's happening? Mm-hmm. Because they're confiding into some older man or someone to help them. One out of four of these children end up incarcerated within 2 years. And so when you look at the system and you see 80% of the convicts in prison today were recipients of the system when they were kids, we're not doing our job.
Well, and yet
because we could help that. We could solve that problem because these kids didn't come out of the womb committing crimes. they come out and they were raised up in that environment where, just like Billy the Kid, he wasn't a criminal. He become a criminal. And if you read the story, you'll understand that he was an orphan. He had lost his mother. She passed away. And one thing led to the other, where he was simply out surviving and ended up killing someone. Well, that's what happens. And we only hear about these kids most of the time after they've done something wrong. Well, when you're out there on the street, you're hungry, I've been there. And you're homeless, I've been there. And you're trying to survive, I've been there. And then you end up, if the church isn't accepting you, helping you, if the government's not helping you, then who's going to help you? Gangs. Gangs will be glad to accept you and come on in. And then next thing you know, you have a criminal record and you're spending the rest of your life in prison.
Well, heartbreaking words and a heartbreaking story from author Jimmy Wayne. He has written a book called Walk to Beautiful, The Power of Love and a Homeless Kid Who Found the Way. We're going to come back and talk a little bit about those people who helped him to find the way and who were instrumental in his life. And hopefully we can glean from that just our responsibility as Christ followers, as those who love the Lord, that we can also begin to put a foot forward to help kids who may be stuck in the foster system or homeless themselves. So we're going to talk more about that with country music star Jimmy Wayne.
No matter where you are right now, remember God's right there. He's asking all of us to help take care of his paper angels everywhere.
Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Talking today with singer and songwriter Jimmy Wayne, also an author, and has written a new book called Walk to Beautiful, The Power of Love and a Homeless Kid Who Found the Way. Jimmy, Paper Angels, it's a beautiful song and written from your experience. Can you tell me a little bit of how you came up with that?
Yes, actually, I was standing on the pier in the mall in Nashville looking over at the angel tree and noticed that a lot of folks were walking by the tree and not, taking time to stop and look and sponsor a kid. And I got to thinking, that used to be me. I was one of those angel tree recipients when I was a kid, and my sister and I would depend on the Salvation Army for food and toys at Christmas time and clothes. And I wanted to do something with my success in the music business rather than just riding around on a tour bus and living that life. And I wrote this song called Paper Angels. It's just my way of giving back. And the song did very well. And, of course, got a book deal and wrote a book called Paper Angels. And now recently filmed a movie with the same title, Paper Angels. And it's just another way of giving back and raising awareness for these organizations that are helping kids.
I love the video that you made as well on this song. Just really shows what a difference someone can make by simply taking one of those off a tree and providing
Absolutely. That for
a child who wouldn't otherwise have anything for Christmas. And what a great way for us to get involved, too, because, my kids will make a list a mile long of all the things that they want for Christmas, and someone may just want one thing. And what a great gift that we can give and to show our kids that as well.
Absolutely. When you look at this video, Paper Angels, you'll see me wearing a denim coat. And that denim coat you'll read about in my new book, Walk to Beautiful. And it was a coat that was given to me when I was living outside, when I was homeless. And I'm wearing this coat again in the movie, Paper Angels. So it's just another way, just something else to talk about that will hopefully, pique someone's interest in, hey, maybe what's this about? Maybe I can get involved. Or it's just another angle to talk about it. Something fresh to talk about, to bring up the subject topic about, man, we should help some kids out here. Mm.
Tell me about how you became homeless. Can you share a little bit about that experience?
Well, it wasn't just one time. It was several times. And but the part we talk about in my new book, Walk the Beautiful, is a time when my mother had just gotten out of prison and married this guy who committed a crime, then took me and my mom with him on the run from the law. And we headed west from North Carolina to Oklahoma City and then south to Texas. And we were living at rest areas and, you know, every, you know, for several weeks and months. And then they headed back east to Pensacola, Florida, where they made me get out of the car in a parking lot at a bus station and drove off. Mm-hmm. And so I was 13 years old, and I didn't have any money, food, phone, anything. And I spent the next 3 years in and out of the system, living outside, couch surfing, living at friends' house, strangers' house, and until I migrated out when I was 16 years old. And there I was again outside. And but I was going down the road one day on a bicycle looking for work, because that's what I did. I worked. And I stayed out of trouble. You know, all my friends were in trouble, dead or going to jail or in prison already. But I just wanted a different lifestyle. And I was out working and looking for work, and that's when I ran into B and Russell Kaltner. Russell was standing at a bandsaw in a cabinet-making wood shop. And they made butter churns and baskets. And I just went up to him and asked him if he had any work I could do, and he nodded his head toward B, who was in the back of the wood shop, cutting boards on a radio arm saw, and just turned it off and walked up to me and looked me up and down and said, if you cut grass, come back this afternoon and cut our grass. And I did. I ended up being the lawn boy for the remainder of that summer. And she would always bring me a little Coca-Cola and a little snack out to this fence. And one day she just asked me, you know, where do you live? And I didn't want to tell her where I lived, because I felt like if I did, she'd judge me, and just like everybody else had in the past, would make me leave. Mm. And so I gave her the most basic and honest answer I could think of. I said, I live up the road from here. And she was smarter than that.
She knew.
Oh, yeah. Well, she had a discernment. I mean, this lady, she walked the walk. She read her scriptures every day. She just had that discernment about her where she was a servant, and she understood, and she could pick up on things, and she had that servant's radar. And man, she said, well, Russell and I have been talking, we want to know if you'd be interested in moving into our home. And you know, I knew it wasn't going to last, because I was a 16-year-old long-haired street kid, and mm-hmm. Russell was a, you know, a 79-year-old World War II veteran. I mean, we had nothing in common. And you know, he and I had already made eye contact, and you know, I wasn't used to, I mean, every man that had been a part of our family growing up were abusive. And so my trust for any man, I didn't have any. I didn't have any trust at all for any guy. And so I felt like, well, this guy's just going to, I mean, he's going to be like the rest of them. And, you know, of course, when I moved in, he told me, he said, you can stay here if you go to church and you cut your hair off. Mm-hmm. It's got to be cut just like mine. And I stayed there 6 years.
And they, what you write is that they changed the course of your life. In fact, when I got to part three in your book, I was so grateful. I was so grateful for them and wish I had the chance to meet them. But what write about is that they changed your life.
They absolutely changed every cell in my body. Mm-hmm. I know for a fact I would not be here had it not been for them. I was lost. Homeless. I had quit school. I had a bag of clothes, and I was just lost. I mean, I would not be here. Mm-hmm. I don't know where I'd be, but I wouldn't be where I'm standing right now and be doing what I'm doing right now. I don't believe I would be.
I love the story of how Russell took you to buy some clothes, and you had no idea, like, what your size was, that this was just an anomaly for you to be picking out something for yourself. Talk about that and what that did for you.
Well, we talk about it in depth in the book, and without giving the entire book away, I wasn't used to buying clothes or someone buying clothes for me. I was used to someone handing down used clothes at the group home, or climbing into one of those donation boxes and trying on something until it fit. That's what I was used to.
Mm. So it did, just having someone care for you was something that, care for you for no reason other than to care for you, was probably something you weren't used to.
I had absolutely nothing to offer them. I was broke. I was homeless. I had nothing to give them, and they still took me into their home. And, that's what we're supposed to do. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to help these kids. And don't expect any return on your investment. I mean, just go in it knowing that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing and helping these kids. I mean, otherwise, they're going to end up in prison, dead, homeless. And who's going to be held accountable for that? Mm-hmm. It's the people who turned their head, and the people who knew that they should help and didn't help. And so if anyone's listening right now, from this moment on, you know that you're supposed to help. Hmm. And if you don't help, you're going to be held accountable for that.
What's the best way for someone to get involved who says, I do want to help kids who are in trouble?
Well, the first step is read this book, Walk to Beautiful, because what it's going to do is give you some insight on what these kids are about, what they're dealing with. You're going to read a story that's going to maybe change your perspective about these children, the stereotype that we give these kids, and it's going to put you on the right track. And then you find an organization such as CASA, Court Appointed Special Advocate, or another organization in your community that's proactively helping these children. Then you research and you get involved. If you cut hair, go down to the facility and cut these kids' hair that don't have the money to afford a haircut. If you are a mentor, donate an hour of your time and mentor. Any resource you have is valuable to these children. And we should give these gifts that we've been given by God back to the kids. Mm. I mean, if there's anyone who ever says, man, I'm bored, I don't know what to do, you're not doing this, you're not helping the kid the way you should. You should never say, I'm bored. Take that boredom and go down there and invest in a kid's life. You won't be bored. Mm. You'll be more fulfilled than you possibly could ever imagine, because you're helping the kid, but man, it really, really does help you to get involved. Get involved at the Salvation Army warehouse, distributing gifts and food during this Angel Tree drive. The Salvation Army Angel Tree, anything you can do helps.
A powerful challenge from singer-songwriter Jimmy Wayne, also an author. He has written a new book called Walk to Beautiful. We're going to talk more about that and tell you how you can get a copy coming up on Connecting Faith.
I love you this much, and I'm waiting on you to make up your mind. Do you love me? This much.
Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Today I have the privilege and honor of talking with singer-songwriter Jimmy Wayne. That was one of his songs, I Love You This Much. And Jimmy, why don't you tell me the story behind this song?
I Love You This Much was inspired by a true story about my relationship or lack of with my biological dad. And we tell the story in depth in my new book, Walked Beautiful. I didn't want to record this song because I felt like after I'd written the song, I had gotten that weight off my shoulders, if you will. And it took about 8 months for me to finally go in the studio and record it. And I'm sure glad I did, because the song has helped and still continues to help so many people out there. And I'm just thankful for the people who were around me at the time, telling me, man, you need to record this song. You need to record it. And I'm glad I finally had enough sense to listen to them.
Oh, my goodness. It's so powerful, especially watching the video and just seeing the how much the relationship that we have with our Father dictates the relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. So whether it's good or bad, it seems to reflect on how we look at God. And you depict that so wonderfully and so beautifully with the words that you wrote. And I love it. So thank you for doing it. And thanks to all those people who made you.
Well, I can't take credit for it. I mean, it's the people out there who request and play this song and champion this song. I was just a vessel, and I wrote it and recorded it. But boy, I tell you, it's all the support from everyone else who's made this song a hit song, and I'm just thankful that I listened.
Me too. Well, as Jimmy has mentioned, he has just written a new book called, well, I guess you wrote it a while ago, but it finally just came out. I know how long those things take. Jimmy has a new book out called Walk to Beautiful. It's The Power of Love and a Homeless Kid Who Found the Way. And his publisher and Jimmy have provided us with a nice stack of books to give away. So if you'd like to read more about his story, it is fascinating. I can attest to that. Why don't you give us a call at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. And Jimmy has also graciously elected to answer any questions that you have. So maybe you want to join in on a conversation or tell your own story or experience with foster care or helping someone in need, or maybe you yourself would like to get involved some way. We'd love to hear from you. And in the meantime, Jimmy, could you tell us how you got started in this country music career? How did that happen?
Well, that is also in this book, Walk to Beautiful. I've written my entire life story, every detail I could possibly think of or remember, in this book, Walk to Beautiful. But you know, it was really an accident, to be honest with you. I auditioned for a job at a theme park and was heard by an executive, which led to an invitation to Nashville, and I ended up having some success in the music business, and here I am today.
Well, tell me about what that allowed you to do then. It seems like what you said is the more you did and the more you had opportunity to do things and be present and to lend your support to things, the more you really got involved. Why do you have such a, well, it's a silly question, because if you read your book, you know why you have a heart for teenagers or people who are homeless or in foster care. But what led you to really want to lend your support to those organizations?
Well, I didn't like start it. I've always been that way. I mean, I was that way before I even got into the music business. I mean, I've always wanted to give back and help organizations and raise awareness for kids, because I know the need. I know what they're going through, and I know what it takes and how easy it is to help a kid. And like, if I could just get that across, you know, it's really simple. You know, we should take care of animals. We should adopt animals, but it's cheaper adopting a kid and taking care of a kid than it is a dog. It's like, if we could just get people to understand that it's not about us, it's about, we're passing through this world. We're just a vapor. None of this is ours. And we're not going to take any of this with us. So while we're here, we're supposed to help these kids, the poor, the hungry. I mean...
Well, you seem to be you're doing that, and love the part of your book where you took a little break from Nashville and being a recording artist, and actually took a very long walk to raise support. Tell us a little bit about that.
I walked from Nashville, Tennessee, to Phoenix, Arizona, in 2010, simulating being homeless the entire way. It was 1,700 miles. I slept on the side of the road. I slept on couches of strangers' homes. And just for 7 months, I did this to raise awareness for these children. And it was an incredible journey and most incredible thing I've ever done, to be honest with you. It was fascinating to be out there meeting the people in the back roads of America who would come out to the edge of their driveway and hold a cup of coffee as I walked by in the snow and in the rain. In the desert, they would come out and bring food. It was just incredible.
So how was your faith strengthened or challenged during that time?
Well, I mean, of course, when you're out there walking, and you're walking that long, you think and rethink everything you thought. I mean, there's nothing else to do but think and walk. So while I was out there, I mean, I had a lot of conversations with God, and one of the things that I kept coming back to was my relationship with my mom and why she did me the way she did me and my sister and abandoned us many times. And, you know, I started thinking about Christ and his mom, and, you know, I was like, hey, why can't my mom be like your mom? Your mom was there to the bitter end, you know. She loved you unconditionally and, you know, was there when you were dying. And that voice that I've been hearing my whole life said, I'm not trying to get your mom to be like my mom. I'm trying to get you to be like me, which is forgiving. And that's what he was doing up there as he was dying and the people were murdering him. He wasn't thinking about hating them. He was thinking about forgiving them. And you think about that. You don't even, I mean, even if you don't believe in God and you don't believe that Christ is the Son of God, The mere idea of knowing that a man believed that himself, that he would follow through with that, you have to respect that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that guy died believing he was dying for our sins. So the least we could do is respect that and accept that and say, man, thank you so much for doing that.
Well, and he did teach us to forgive, and despite the awful things that you write about, that your mother said or did, you found a way to forgive her. So how did you come to that decision?
That's how I come to it. That was when it happened. I said, you know what? I've got to forgive her because he forgave us, and we've done a whole lot worse things to him than my mom's ever done to me or anyone has ever done to us.
Well, it's so powerful to hear your story and know that you've come to that conclusion, and really makes so many of us think about how we often feel wronged, and to look at what Christ did on the cross, what you've done for the person who has brought wrong to your life. It's just a very powerful, very powerful story. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Oh, absolutely.
We're going to talk more with Jimmy Wayne. I see our phone lines have lit up for people who would like to get a copy of his book. Of course, we'll also have a link to how you can get a copy of his book on our website on myfaithradio.com. Just go to the Connecting Faith website. Otherwise, you can give us a call if you want to share an experience or have a question for Jimmy at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Faith, and you can give us a call. Otherwise, we'll be right back with Jimmy Wayne. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. I'm Joe Rathmanner, and today I'm talking with singer-songwriter Jimmy Wayne, who's also written a book that's out this month called Walk to Beautiful, about his experience as a child who became homeless and also a child who became saved and rescued by a wonderful couple and several other people in his life who took the time to be instrumental in his growth and development, not only as a young person, but as a child of God as well. Loving hearing part of your story, Jimmy, and you are coming to the Twin Cities to do a benefit. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Absolutely.
You're coming to Burnsville, and I think the organization is Safe Families, correct? Why is Safe Families for Children? Why is this organization near and dear to your heart?
Around every once a week, yeah. State to state, doing these events to raise.
Are we losing Jimmy Ryan?
Yeah, I think maybe we should try to reconnect here with.
And, you know, it's just an amazing organization that reaches out and does exactly what we are supposed to be doing. And I enjoy getting involved in organizations such as this one and helping the communities all over America, from Alaska to Florida, from Hawaii to New York. I mean, I'm everywhere trying to do my part to serve and raise this awareness.
Well, and it looks like there's going to be a dinner, a silent auction, a concert, and a program featuring Jimmy. And if you're interested in getting more information about this, if you do happen to live in the Twin Cities area, I know not all of our listeners do, but if you happen to be close, you can take a look at our website at myfaithradio.com. Click on Connecting Faith. We'll have a link to that organization as well as details on the concert, which is Saturday, November 15th. So it's coming up very soon here. And of course, we want to fill that center. We want to fill the concert and raise money for Safe Families for Children. So what other kinds of organizations do you, or what other kinds of benefits do you like to do to bring awareness to the children who need so much help here in the United States?
I'm kind of confused with that question. I don't really understand what you're asking me.
Well, you take time out of your touring schedule and your writing schedule so that you can raise money for organizations that support kids, correct?
Well, no. I actually don't take time out of my career. This is what I do. This is it's not like two different people. I do this every day of my life and have been since the beginning of my career. Most people would think that I'm stepping away from touring, but no, I'm not. This is what I do. I mean, I get up every day thinking, how can I get involved?
Tell me a little bit about how this has helped maybe your family. Your sister got involved as well with helping a child who needed assistance. Can you share that story?
Absolutely. I tell the story in my book, Walk the Beautiful, in depth about my sister and the relationship with her adopting this little girl and her doing her part to give back to a kid, you know, who needs help.
Oh, I think we just lost him.
We just lost him, too. That sound is never good.
It usually does indicate that the phones have...
separated.
Something unpleasant has occurred with the phones. But we'll have Carissa try to reconnect with him here and get him back on, Mr. Jimmy Wayne.
Because Carissa is very busy because Carissa is fielding all the phone calls that are coming in to get a copy of Jimmy's book. So it's a really fabulous story and just a heart-wrenching story as well, and really makes you think about how growing up, it made me think about how lucky I was growing up the environment that I did and with the family that I did. And books like this are great because they can give you a different perspective of the person who might be sitting next to you at the coffee shop.
That's right. And the power, too, of the hope that he has, because you think of just the preponderance of how many things continue to go wrong in his life, and yet the hope that he has that calls him to action. I mean, that's one of the most encouraging things to me, because there are so many things that can motivate us in life, but only the motivations that really mean something are going to be enough to keep us going.
Right.
And to see what he's done for a number of years, I mean, you realize that's something that actually has a meaning that's timeless.
Absolutely. And a lot of staying power as well. I mean, what he said at the end, what he said just before we got disconnected, was that this is what he does for his life.
Yeah.
Yeah, that his life's work is not only to create and perform music. His life's work is to do this for the glory of God and in order to provide awareness for organizations that are supporting kids.
Yeah.
Who
yeah.
may be homeless or in trouble.
Absolutely. And you know, if there are those of you who are listening right now who have had a similar situation, and you know, a situation that just seems as though it's hopeless when you look at it, when you just glance at it, but there's been a way that God has reached you and pulled you through that. I mean, that would be something that I would be so interested to hear in these last few moments.
Absolutely. And if you have someone who wants to comment on that, we'd love to have you give us a call at 877-93-FAITH. For the time being, though, why don't we hear from the organization Safe Families? They'd like to talk a little bit about what they have coming up, and we're going to collect with Maridel from Safe Families. Hi, Maridel.
Hey there. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Great. We're so excited that you are having Jimmy on today, and we're thrilled to have him come to Minneapolis come November 15th to celebrate Safe Families for Children.
Tell me a little bit about what Safe Families does.
Well, imagine a child like Jimmy going through the trauma he did, but early on had his mom had someone to call who could really help and step into Jimmy's life. That'd be the kind of opportunity that we'd want to give him early on, so that he wouldn't have had to go through the trauma of the abuse and neglect and end up in foster care. Everything he said about foster care can sometimes be such a painful, traumatic experience for a child because they're separated from their mom in ways that the government are involved in. Early intervention where a mom like Jimmy's mom could have asked for help and had a family temporarily take care of him while she was trying to adjust her situation becomes the opportunity for Safe Families to step in. We have 170 families throughout the Twin Cities who will temporarily take care of children while families are facing crisis.
Well, and as I was reading about what you do, I thought what was most poignant was that you said a lot of people don't get help until something awful has happened. And your organization is dedicated to actually getting them help that they need before something terrible happens.
Yeah, families that are facing crisis sometimes are just so overwhelmed by what the circumstances of their life that it's easy to neglect or even abuse your child. And so if they can get help early, friendly family, we kind of like to call ourselves extended family network to families in crisis. The truth is that social isolation becomes the number one indicator of child abuse and neglect. And so if we can eliminate that barrier by offering extended family-like relationships to those in crisis, we feel we can have a great impact on families and the reunification factor.
Mm. And so why did you choose Jimmy to come and be your representative here? I mean, his story is amazing. I'm not questioning. I'm just asking what's great about him, what's special about him that said, this is a guy we got to have come and talk.
Well, he's lived the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, God's story that has been written is a story of trauma and pain and hurt. And as you can hear from him, he's an outspoken advocate of children
mm-hmm.
and an outspoken advocate of the trauma that can happen when a child is in and out of foster care and in and out of abusive situations. And so we wanted to bring awareness to our community about this hidden epidemic that he mentions. Children are being hurt and neglected in families where there is help available. And many times foster care is not involved because of the threshold of what's considered abuse in our communities. And so children are in need of help. Families are in need of help. And so we've got families ready to do so all throughout the Twin Cities. We recruit families from communities of faith who are background checked and home approved to be able to temporarily take care of children from anywhere from 2 days to a year long.
Well, and it's interesting because when I read a book like Jimmy's, I know what the end is, and I know that there was some victory that he claimed, of course, but for all of the children who are in the same situation, that's not always the case, right?
Yeah, the stories can be very sad and extremely, the time frame that's involved where kids are just lingering in a system and no answers are coming forward. I think the beauty of faith families would be that opportunity to build relationships with new connections, new networks of possibility for stronger families in our communities.
Okay, well, Maribel, we're going to close out with Jimmy, but would you give us your website so that people who are interested in either coming to the benefit or, as you know, not all of our listeners live in the Twin Cities, so maybe they'd like to go to your website and check it out. Can you give us that information?
Yeah, you can find us at safefamiliesmn.org, safefamiliesminnesota.org, and there you'll find information about Safe Families Minnesota, as well as information about the concert November 15th. We're looking forward to having you with us.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much, and thanks for the great information. We're going to check in with Jimmy and get some closing comments from him as well. Thanks, Maridel.
Yep.
Jimmy, are you there?
I'm here, if you can hear me. I'm sorry that got cut off there.
No, that's okay. All your words are valuable, though, and we want to get all of them, not just every other one. So we thought we'd reconnect with you. But Maridel from Safe Families did just a great job explaining their organization and what they can do for children and how people can get involved. So hopefully we'll get a lot of people to attend your concert as well. So we only have a couple of minutes left, but I'd love for you to just share any closing thoughts you have about your purpose, like you just explained so well, and what you do and why you do it, and how we can all get involved in helping children as well.
Absolutely. I would ask everyone who's listening to come out to this event and be a part, show your support, get involved, get a copy of this book, Walk the Beautiful, and read it from the beginning to the very end, the prologue to the epilogue, because it's all important. Not just the pictures, but it will give you an insight about what we're dealing with and the kids and their stories and how they feel. My story is their story. Mm. I've just been given a platform and the gift of experience to be able to speak from for these kids. So get involved. Don't let a day pass that you do not get involved in helping a kid out. Utilize your resources.
Well,
not
and
just
I was,
to help yourself, but
I was,
to help a kid.
Sorry, I was saying to Maridel that, you know, as I'm reading your story and you know, tears are coming to my eyes reading what you had to go through, I still knew that the end was good. And not everyone's story is going to end well, correct?
Unfortunately, not everyone's story will end well, but, you know, if we're not doing our part, you can just about guarantee their story is not going to end well.
Hmm.
And if we're doing everything we can, then at least we can say, man, I did everything I could do to help a kid. And unfortunately, it didn't end well. But I don't believe that if we're doing everything that we can possibly do, the story's not going to – I believe if we do everything we can do to help these kids, and I mean everything, not just half doing it, I'm talking about getting involved and helping, the story will end well.
Hmm.
There's no excuse. There's no reason why the story must end bad. Mine ended well because the family that took me in and helped me did everything they could do. They didn't just feed a kid at Thanksgiving and pat themselves on the back and tell everybody in their community, oh, I went down to the homeless shelter and fed homeless people. Who cares? Do it every day. And stop talking about it. Just do it.
Well, it's a great challenge from Jimmy Wayne. Of course, you know him as a singer-songwriter. He's also an author and quite an activist for helping kids who are in trouble, foster care, or homeless. We encourage you to get involved as well and to grab a copy of his book, Walk to Beautiful. We'll have information about that on our website at myfaithradio.com. And Jimmy, we thank you so much for giving us some time to talk about you, to tell your story, and to encourage us to get involved. Thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
And good luck to you on your concert coming up in the Twin Cities and, of course, on all the work that you do on behalf of children across America. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. You've been listening to Connecting Faith, and you can certainly check out more information on Jimmy on our website, myfaithradio.com. Have a great afternoon.